From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For some time, the demographics of Illinois have been a talking point for politicians. Republicans have long said the state's left-leaning policies and taxes are prompting people to leave. More recently, Democrats have painted Illinois as a blue island in a sea of red states and a safe place for people who feel pushed out by more conservative policies. Initial results from the 2020 census found that Illinois' population did decline slightly. But, and this is important, many failed to notice that post-census data found that Illinois was most likely undercounted, which would mean that Illinois possibly actually gained residents. Now, a new study is looking at Illinois' population data and breaking down our demographics. Among the findings, Illinois residents are becoming better educated, higher paid, and more diverse. But older residents, black residents, and people in rural areas are leaving the state. The study comes from the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. I think it's fair to say a left-leaning organization. It's got several union leaders on its board. And for those keeping score at home, this is a different organization than the Illinois Policy Institute, which is right-leaning. Joining us now to break all of this down are the two people who helped put this study together. Robert Bruno is a professor of labor and employment relations at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and is on the board of the Institute. Bob, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us. Bob Bruno, are you with us? Possibly muted on our Zoom.
No, I'm with you. Thank you.
All right, good. Thanks for being here. Also joining us is Frank Manzo, an economist for the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. Frank, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks again for having me.
All right, listeners, you can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We do love hearing anecdotes that help put human faces on the data we'll be discussing. Maybe you have left Illinois. Maybe you know someone who's left Illinois. Maybe you know someone who's come to Illinois. That's also a big part of this story. Or maybe you've just seen changes in your area. New people coming in, other people going out. Let us know about it. 800-222-9455. Or if you just have questions for our guests about what we're going to be talking about, 800-222-9455. All right. I'm going to start just with sort of the population of Illinois in general. We've seen, you know, these back and forth claims. Did Illinois gain population? Did it lose population? Frank, I'm going to start with you. How do you interpret the data? This seems like it's something that should be a knowable fact. What does it say?
Yeah, thanks again for having us. So yeah, the reports of Illinois' population decline appear to have been greatly exaggerated. And what I mean by that is Professor Bruno from the University of Illinois and I look at two sources of data over a decade each. One was the household survey data from the U.S. Census Bureau, and then another was tax data from the Illinois Department of Revenue. So two different kind of sources of data, but both showing that Illinois' population has been stable over the last decade. And in particular, the Chicago area, the Cook County and its surrounding suburbs have added both residents and taxpayers over the last decade. And ultimately, what the data shows is that this decade of migration trends and patterns has made the state more urban and suburban, and of course the opposite being true, less rural, but also more educated, you know, more foreign-born and higher paid. And it's also meant that substantially more workers are contributing to the tax base, while fewer are now reliant on government assistance programs like food stamps and the earned income tax credit at the same time that Illinois has become this $1 trillion economy. So that's what the data has shown, and that's a little bit of what our report shows from the top lines.
Yeah, a lot of threads that we're going to pull on as we continue in this conversation. Let's take a step back for a minute, though, and Bob, Professor Bruno, if you can talk just about why these other sources of data. What are some of the limits with the census data itself that makes it appealing for researchers to broaden their approach when trying to understand these phenomena?
You know, the census is is a remarkably stable, robust, and largely, you know, very, very credible source for data, and it's served analysts for a very long period of time. And so people should continue to go to it, as Frank and I did. I do think, though, that during this census count that occurred during a COVID period really ran into some problems of undercounting. And there's always been an issue of undercounting and then making estimates. And as a result, it does require kind of stepping back and actually doing what a post-census review did do to indicate that there was a bit of an undercount. So it's still a very important data source if you rely on it. But as Frank noted, it would be good to look at other data sources, particularly if you're trying to examine something within state boundaries. So looking at the tax revenue, for example, or going to a supplement to the various reports that the Census Bureau puts out, a supplement which asks people about why they moved, when they moved, and who they were. And if you can kind of triangulate all of that, and also if you can do it over an extended period of time, you're going to get far more data points. You're going to be able to look at the problem much more or the subject far more comprehensively. And therefore, when you end up with findings, there's a much higher probability that you got an accurate picture. And I think that's what Frank and I did here. And we're hoping that we would encourage, other people, that this would be a model for making broad claims about what's happening in the state.
All right, let's go to the phones. Maimuna is calling in from Bloomington. I hope I said that right, on line four. What have you been seeing where you are with the population?
Thank you so much. Yes, in Bloomington, Illinois, we're seeing our population increase due to Rivian.
Oh, the electric car factory. They're bringing in a lot of people to work there.
A lot of people, yes, very diverse.
Have you seen, I wonder if you saw the population decline when Mitsubishi pulled out a number of years ago before Rivian had bought that facility?
It dipped a little bit. I think the bigger impact that pushed people out was State Farm did open up another big hub in Texas, and then they moved out. But then we've, in the last year or so, had something like 5,000 or 10,000 people move into town.
And 5,000 or 10,000, wow. That's a huge bump. Interesting. Are cities' services able to keep up from your perspective? Or, I mean, are you seeing longer lines at the Chick-fil-A or whatever on the weekend?
So we have probably the highest concentration of restaurants in Illinois, so not really. our town is really good at managing these kinds of things. So actually what's happened is our population recovered from a downward trend, so they were already tooled for that.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in to share what you're seeing in Bloomington Normal. If you want to join our conversation today, it's 800-222-9455. It's 800-222-9455. We're talking with Professor Robert Bruno of the University of Illinois and Frank Manzo, economist with the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. They are both worked on a new report looking at what's really happening, some of the truth behind the population changes and demographic changes in particular that we've seen in Illinois in recent years. Frank, I don't know if you want to weigh in on anything that our caller said about, how you might see data that bears that out in terms of, the type of people that are moving here and why they might move to Illinois.
Yeah. So our report, looks at the state as a whole and doesn't, as much hone in on specific areas as much as we would have, liked to. However, we do look at who leaves Illinois, who moves into Illinois, and who stays in Illinois, which is also a key piece of the puzzle. But the caller, hit on a good point of who's moving into Illinois. And the people who have moved into Illinois, on average, have been better educated and also more likely to arrive for college than those who have moved out. And Bloomington Normal, as the caller mentioned, kind of has that, those the types of industries and professions that tend to be a little bit better educated. She mentioned kind of the Rivian plant, as well as, their State Farm is there, so kind of a financial industry. And then, of course, has Illinois State University there. So they have the college town vibe there. So all of the factors that have been driving people to move into Illinois are present in the Bloomington Normal area. You know, the people who move to the states do so for upward mobility, you know, whether through educational pursuits or, you know, to work hard and achieve a middle class lifestyle. So that's kind of the key on the people who are moving into the state and what the data is showing.
You know, this is really interesting, especially about the college piece of your report, because and you know, higher enrollment in higher education, we do two factors, really. Anecdotally, we on this program do talk to a lot of other public radio reporters, and we hear especially those who are based at state universities that are more directional, right? Your Western, your Southern, your Eastern, that they have seen enrollment struggles. This is not necessarily true at Illinois State or the flagship University of Illinois campuses, but you know, and then the other factor in this is during the budget impasse, I talked with an economist who had worked with a demographer, and I think used some of the same data that you used to look at during the budget impasse. Again, who was leaving Illinois? And it was people aged 18 and 19 were significantly higher rate than every other age demographic. And Professor Brunner, I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about the higher education component of who is coming to or leaving Illinois.
Yeah, I think it is a very important component. And I say that not simply because I work at the state's flagship university, but, you know, it's important that we think about infrastructure, and we think about it in two ways. There's hard infrastructure. So, you know, that's railways and waterways and the ability to move people and product. All of that is critically important to economic development. But there's also what's often referred to as soft infrastructure, and that's investments in everything from early childhood education to higher education. And we know there's a powerful correlation between the investment in extra years of education and the economic well-being of the individual, but then that individual's family and its broader community. And Illinois, I think, does have a very strong higher education system that is attractive to people from other states, from other countries. But it's important to invest in it. And there was a period of years for too long when the investment in higher ed not only was not growing, but it was shrinking, quite frankly. And only in the last couple of years have we seen that investment go up. And we think that what this study does demonstrate is that one of the policy levers that state leaders could focus on as a way to strengthen and stabilize and grow the population is to continue to invest in that form of education that attracts people to the state, which also attracts businesses, which also attracts investors. So there's a policy piece to our analysis, and it certainly highlights the importance of higher education investments.
A couple minutes, I should say, before we need to take a break. I do want to touch on this another issue that we may have to span the break with this, but and that is this question of migrants. We've had a lot of news stories lately about an influx of migrants coming from southern states, being bused in, frankly, from Texas and Florida and elsewhere. Frank, I wonder if this data takes that sort of influx of people into account, and has it really been enough to move the needle?
Yeah, so the data, I mean, a key point in our data, and we haven't obviously really talked about who leaves Illinois, but it is true that Illinois is the data does indicate that Illinois lost residents due to what is called net domestic migration, or people moving within the U.S., but these losses were almost entirely offset by immigrants coming to Illinois from abroad, as well as other people coming to Illinois from abroad. And why I say other people is People coming to Illinois from abroad includes native-born folks returning home, and that, you know, that, again, that includes military veterans coming home, includes students, studying abroad coming back to Illinois, includes expatriates who are working in London and Singapore coming back as well. But it also, you know, of course, includes, you know, foreign-born workers and you know, migrants who may be asylum seekers and the undocumented as well. So all of that data is in the report. Now, we don't explicitly or we don't drill down all the way down to say, you know, X number of these folks are refugees and asylum seekers, but it is a key piece of the migration reports and the population puzzle to show that, you know, foreign-born residents and people from abroad offset losses of due to net domestic migration. And that is a key reason why Illinois' population was stable over the last decade. And I know Professor Bruno has, I think, even more that he may want to say if we have some time.
That's great. But I am going to ask him to put a pin in that until we come back from our break. We are subject to a strict clock here on our program. And that's interesting because I do want to ask, and maybe I can just tee this up and tease our listeners to come back, because I had wondered if some of the strong anti-immigrant rhetoric we've heard from, frankly, the former president of the United States and a number of his allies, this has become a very salient political issue, if that had somehow affected that trend in Illinois of people moving within the country, leading to population loss, but that being offset by people from overseas. We're going to talk about all that and more when we return. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a report from the Illinois Economic Policy Institute that looks at population changes in Illinois and challenges some of the conventional wisdom about people leaving Illinois in droves. We're talking about this with two of the people who helped put the study together, Professor Robert Bruno from Labor and Employment Relations at the University of Illinois, and also Frank Manzo, an economist with the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455. Where are you seeing the young people go to school where you are in Illinois? Are they leaving the state? Are they doing so more readily or less readily than they might have 5-10 years ago? Let us know. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Professor Bruno, I know you probably want to weigh in. Before the break, we were talking about net domestic migration, which is the idea of people leaving Illinois for Wisconsin, Indiana, Texas, wherever, being offset somewhat or entirely for a long time by foreign migration. And I can't remember exactly what the term of art is there, but people coming from overseas, be they returning veterans or immigrants or whatever. I was curious if the sort of anti-immigrant rhetoric of recent years had put a damper on that effect. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can speak to that or take it where you will.
Yeah, no, thank you. Well, first of all, the really hyperbolic anti-foreign-born rhetoric is damaging. I think it's dangerous, but it's also inconsistent with history. It's inconsistent with facts. It's inconsistent with data. What we found is that, and this isn't, I don't think this will come as any great surprise to any reasonable listener, is people move for work. That's the principal reason people move. They're looking for a job. They're looking for a better economic opportunity. And that's certainly true for foreign born. And those foreign born immigrants who are able to move, that come to Illinois, are actually highly skilled or more higher educated than those that have not migrated. And many of them not only become very productive workers and taxpayers, but they become entrepreneurs and they become job creators and innovators in our state. So that by every accounting that anyone's ever done, foreign-born immigration is a net positive. And the U.S., quite frankly, has never known, and just think of the country writ large. And by the way, Illinois is often cited as being sort of the perfect microcosm for the nation. So what you often say about the country, you can say about Illinois and vice versa. And that is that when the economy has grown, when the middle class has expanded, when the ability to climb that sort of economic class ladder has been at its most pronounced, it's when there has been a strong mix, if you will, that includes foreign-born immigrants into the United States, because it's one of the ways you can increase your economic growth. I mean, you can continue to just work the people that are born in this country extra hours, and you can introduce technology, but you also introduce additional workers. And it's tied very strongly to the country's economic prosperity. And I think that's part of the positive record here in Illinois. They're not really just offsetting domestic levers, if you will. They're part of an historical pattern that's enriched the state of Illinois and continue to do so.
Okay, let's talk about who is actually leaving Illinois. And Frank, you mentioned this a little while ago. Tell us, what do we know about them? Who are they?
Yeah, and it really is important to kind of to understand who's leaving, who's arriving, and who's staying in Illinois and why, because then you can actually get a full picture of the state. And then if you really want to attract and retain more people, that might help you to, you know, come up with the right policy recommendations to do so, right? So who's leaving Illinois? The data reveal that the people who have moved out of Illinois over the last decade have tended to be younger on average and have lower incomes than those who have chosen to stay in Illinois. So again, their average age is about 32 years old. So yes, there are people who are older who leave for retirement. There are people who younger who leave for work, but on average, they tend to be younger and they do tend to be leaving for work, as Professor Bruno has mentioned. Now there's a kind of a thought that, you know, folks might leave because property taxes are too high and they want a bigger house elsewhere or a cheaper house. But, you know, we looked at the numbers and only 30% of those who leave became homeowners within their first year in their new states. So again, tend to be younger, tend to be renters. And again, they tend to have lower incomes. And that's also corroborated by the fact that 14% of those who left reported that they relied on food stamp assistance, which is higher than those who moved into and those who stayed in Illinois. So again, tend to have lower incomes, tend to need the social safety net a little bit more than those who stay. That's what the data shows.
You know, is it, Frank, I don't know if you can speak to this. I know you can. Every year when, especially this is something that would be cited in, you know, Tribune editorials, for example, is this U-Haul press release that comes out every year. I don't think this is, you know, peer-reviewed research exactly. It does get picked up by a lot of media outlets. Does that have any validity to it?
Yeah, so certainly the company data and the kind of the U-Haul data, all that stuff definitely has validity. I mean, there's definitely when people move from kind of state to state, those go into here's how I'll put it. They're pieces of the puzzle. But if you only look at one piece of the puzzle, you don't see the whole picture, right? That's kind of the point. And that's kind of what Professor Bruno and I aim to do in this report, right? Is if you're only looking at leavers, you're not looking at who's moving in, or you're not looking at stayers, or, you know, that the U-Haul data really only looks at this net domestic migration. Again, it's the people who move within the US, and it's omitting the people who move from abroad. And that's a huge, huge piece of the puzzle. And that's, you know, that's key. And then the other thing you don't get from that information is who they are. And that's why, you know, we look at this kind of census data, which asks, you know, who are you, right? And what's your kind of information, kind of your racial and ethnic background, your age, your marital status, your home ownership, all of those kind of factors. But then they also ask this question, why did you leave? And they, there's a host of answers. They left for housing related reasons. They left for family reasons. They left because they wanted to retire. They left because they, for education reasons. But really ultimately the number one reason, that the top reason is work related. I had a job transfer. I want a new job. I'm looking for work. All of those combined are the number one related reason. So that's why, you know, we kind of use the sources we use, and we tried to put it all together into a complete picture.
This is the 21st show. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the demographics of Illinois, the population of Illinois, and challenging some of the talking points we have heard for years now about Illinois hemorrhaging people comparatively, and what some of the facts are. And when you go beyond census data, some of the interesting things you can learn. We're talking about this with two people who worked on a report for the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. Frank Manzo is an economist there, and Robert Bruno is a professor of labor and employment relations and director of the labor studies program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champain. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. And Sunita is calling in on line four from Washington, Illinois. Sunita, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Yes, I'm in Washington, Illinois, which, of course, people don't know about very much, but we're just outside Peoria, so we're across the river. And I'm glad you all are looking at a more in-depth look. I had this take on it, which is that, again, Peoria gets a very bad rap. Oh, there's high crime, this and that. But what is happening is Peoria attracts the people for the employment, but they choose to live in one of our towns, which are much, quote unquote, safer or have better services. So there's Washington, there's Morton, East Peoria, Dunlap. They're not part of Peoria per se, but they provide the residence. And then, like we, my husband lives in Washington, but he works at Bradley, which is in Peoria, Illinois, Bradley University.
Interesting.
So what I'm saying is, again, it's just a matter of people get the wrong idea, and they hear Peoria and they say, oh, isn't your crime high? And we're like, you know, there's more to our area than just that one piece of information. So I don't know if you all have noticed that about our area. It's
all
very
right,
much greater Peoria. It's a lot. There you get people coming in. But Peoria per se is losing population. That's what we hear.
Interesting. All right, Sunita, thank you so much. Let me ask our guests about that. And Professor Bruno, if you can speak to that. And I guess one of the things that really jumped out at me there is this idea, and we've certainly heard this as a political talking point, is that crime drives people out of Illinois, right? People don't want to visit Chicago. Maybe they don't want to visit parts of Peoria now based on news reports. Do you see that? Is there any way of knowing that from the data?
So the data doesn't, in our analysis, and the data doesn't address overall crime statistics or trends in reported crimes. As Frank notes, though, crime really isn't listed as a reason for moving out of the state. There's a bundle of things under other, which is a very small percentage, and perhaps some folks would have that as a stated or unstated reason. But, you know, I would acknowledge that the canard about crime deflating populations been out there for some time. It's not a new thing. And if it were a real motivator, if it had a real statistical impact, and again, we've reported that when people are given a chance to just honestly say why they move, they cite work and they cite educational opportunities. But if crime somehow was a motivator, then it would be hard really to explain the pretty stable population over the decade. And it would be hard to explain the 200,000 increase, the 4% increase in tax filers. And additionally, the increase for people who are making over $500,000, or the 5% increase of people that you would put in that middle income, that household middle income of strata that have seen a increase. So there's no really good statistical data that even implies that crime is impacting the moving in or the moving out. I quite frankly think it's used for partisan political reasons to push other kinds of agendas, in the same way that claims that it's taxes that are chasing people out of the state of Illinois, when in fact, as Frank and I note, taxpayers, we've seen an increase in taxpayers, and that's true amongst the wealthiest in the state, along with middle income earners. So it really raises the question, well, then why keep making this argument? It certainly isn't based on demographics.
Well, only a few minutes left in our conversation, about 3 minutes. So, and there's a lot we haven't talked about. We'll have a link to the report on our website if people want to go more in depth with it. Frank, I did want to ask you, and one of the things I don't think we'll have time to really get into is two of the groups that you identify as people leaving the state are Black residents or rural residents. I guess I do want to move, in the time we have remaining, though, to what some of the policy recommendations are based on this information. You know, how does this confound what people think Illinois ought to be doing versus what maybe you think or some of the options that policymakers here ought to be considering in light of this information?
So that's a great question. And actually, the caller kind of alluded to this in a sense. It's really that, you know, the places that have lost population in Illinois over the last decade have generally been those that have experienced, in one form or another, kind of a long-term divestment in their communities. You know, whether it's a loss of manufacturing jobs, especially in rural Illinois, or in, you know, kind of you know, South Side of Chicago, or even a divestment in public sector jobs, kind of a hollowing out of the public sector. You know, those kinds of communities have really, really lost population. And so, you know, a way to reverse that out migration is really simply to reinvest in those underserved, you know, majority Black and rural areas of the state. So that's one way. Professor Bruto alluded to another way is to make college more affordable and to attract and retain people who've been most likely to come to Illinois. And by the way, that, you know, they also come for the private universities, you know, the University of Chicago and Northwestern University as well. But regardless, let's make the state universities and community colleges more affordable as well. And then the people who stay, who we haven't talked about too much, but the people who stay generally have better socioeconomic outcomes than the migrants. They have higher household incomes than those who've left. They are more likely to be married. They have higher home ownership rates, very high home ownership rates. So these are people who are, you know, attached to their communities, attached to Illinois. And so really enacting, you know, pro-family policies like a child tax credit, something like that could really ensure that those, you know, who are married, who have larger family sizes, those who have been most likely to stay, you know, will continue to do so. So those are some potential kind of policy options that Professor Bruno and I offer in the report. These are evidence-based, based on who is leaving, who is arriving, and who is staying in Illinois. And I don't know if Professor Bruno has anything to add or if we have any time.
Well, if he does, it's only got about 15 seconds to add it if you do, Professor.
I'll only add that Frank did a really nice wrap-up in a very brief amount of time.
Very good. Professor Robert Bruno is with the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign School of Labor and Employment Relations. Frank Manzo is an economist with the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. Bob and Frank, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. My pleasure.
More to come after a short break. We are going to be talking about the Black Arts and Culture Alliance of Chicago. The organization's been around for 26 years. It recently rebranded. We'll talk about the change, the state of Black art today, and what's next for the group and the movement. That's after a short break here on the 21st Show. Please stay with us.